Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you have given us so much. You have given us a good land to live in. You have provided the sun and the rain and the wind, along with the seed that brings forth the grains of the field that sustain life. You have provided animals of the land and birds of the air to feed us too. Grant us thankful hearts this night as we recognize you have been and always will be the giver of all these things, these good gifts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What prompted me to go the direction I'm going tonight is perhaps you've seen the YouTube clip or saw it in the news, but a commentator, an interviewer, went to a college, a Christian college in Minnesota, and asked the college students about Thanksgiving. And the answers these college students were giving were quite disappointing, to say it in the least. They just don't know the history. And they're spewing off what their professors are teaching them, which is so wrong. They're being disconnected from reality, and they're being disconnected from the truth. So hopefully this night will help you see and understand and know that the Lord is God. I ask you to begin with, have you ever read the text of President Lincoln's 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation? Honestly, I've never read it. I was aware of the proclamation, but I've never read the text. And that's what really established the fourth Thursday of November as Thanksgiving. The proclamation is not long, and it's worth hearing. So I'll read it in its entirety, but before I do, I want you to draw yourself to some important facts and draw your attention to that these words, the context when these words were written. For these words were written through the urging of Sarah Josepha Hale, who herself, as I read a little bit of her biography, seems to be a fascinating lady, but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. But Mrs. Hale had been through the years urging for a national unifying holiday of Thanksgiving to be observed each year. She'd been sending letters year after year urging it. This year, her plea to President Lincoln stated that having a national day of Thanksgiving would set in place, quote, a great union festival of America. Hale's letter came to President Lincoln while he's in the midst of contemplating giving an address about the war and what was happening in the war. The address would be given at the dedication of a national cemetery in Gettysburg. So in the midst of the war, the great battle of Gettysburg was fought during that summer with tragic numbers of losses, and he's going to be dedicating the cemetery. And so Mrs. Hale's letter arrives during all of this going on. And so this is what came about. October 3rd, 1863, by the President of the United States, a proclamation. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggressions, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the field of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plows, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines as well of iron and coal as of precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than before. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, in the battlefield, and the country. Rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, it is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increases of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in his anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly and reverently and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singularly deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as it may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1863, and in the independence of the United States, the 88th, Abraham Lincoln. I ask you, did you hear the many indications of the faith that were replete throughout this proclamation? These words express knowledge of God, and at the same time, these words were calling the nation once again to know the Lord is God. Phrases such as constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, and habitually insensible, written by Lincoln almost 80 years ago, are so relevant to us this day. For we are prone to forget. We are habitually insensible to the things of God. At the same time, those words are relevant to those bellies that were satisfied in the feast of over 5,000 above the sands of the Sea of Galilee all those years ago too. They were forgetful, and they were insensible to what was taking place right before their eyes. They went searching for Jesus on the other side of the lake because their bellies were filled and they were looking for more. They wanted the more and were in many ways oblivious to the miracle that had happened in their midst on the mountainside above the Sea of Galilee. As you drive around our area this day and age and you see the farmers' fields, a lot of them have been harvested now. But think back to last spring and during the summer as you're seeing the fields sown with seed. And then as through the summertime growing season, you watched them get taller and taller. What was in that field? Oh, it's soybean. How about that? Oh, it's corn. That field. Straw. Hay. It gets going on and on. And there's other things going. Pumpkins and other things. The things that God does, how oblivious are we to them throughout the year? Does it draw your attention to turn you to the Lord in amazement as you see the plant get knee-high by the 4th of July? In the spring, you saw the planting. You saw the growth during the summer. But did you recognize the mighty miracle that was taking place? Each time a seed is placed in the ground and germination happens, and that plant pops above the ground and reaches to the sun, and then you get the clouds and the rain, you get the sun and you get the wind to fertilize and nourish and grow till that time of harvest comes. Year after year, this pattern is repeated with a bounty being produced. Do you recognize that it's all by the merciful and gracious hand of God? The very same people who experienced that miracle of multiplying loaves and fish are now asking Jesus, what miraculous sign will you give? And so from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 30, so they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and as written, he gave them bread from heaven. All around us, we are surrounded by the miraculous provision of the Lord, day in and day out. But we too think and act in a similar manner, just as they did way back long ago in the presence of Jesus. You see, human nature has not changed through the generations. Human nature has not changed through the eons. Before our very eyes are wonders and evidence. The Lord is God. And we fail to see. And so we fail to offer thanks and praise. In the midst of Abraham Lincoln's proclamation was this phrase that just grabbed onto me. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. In the midst of the great Civil War and the devastating toll it was taking, Lincoln was able to see the gracious gifts of the Most High God. At the same time, he recognized and understood what was happening was God's anger dealing with our sins. Still through it all, the president was able to discern the Most High God was remembering and acting in mercy. The people around Jesus wanted more bread to fill their bellies. Jesus, in his mercy, was offering them a better bread to give them life, declaring, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. We are sinners, and oftentimes we do not see the manifold blessings of the Lord Most High. We don't recognize the mercy and faithfulness of God expressed to us. It is beyond compare. Season after season, year after year, the fields are filled with bounty. Year after year, we are provided with things to eat and drink and clothes to wear. Day after day, do you recognize the wonders and mercies of God given to you anew each morning? Even while he's dealing with sin, his mercy is still showing great. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. God expresses mercy and faithfulness. And that mercy and faithfulness to us is beyond compare. And for this very reason of that mercy, that faithfulness, his everlasting love, we are able to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. In doing so, our actions, our words, our hearts will turn to him, look upon him, and remember it is the Lord God who has made us. It is the Lord God, we are his. It is the Lord God, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And by remembering and lifting up your hearts with thanksgiving, recalling all the Lord has done, we come to know the Lord is God. We will know the Lord is God. And from our experience, we know the Lord is good. We know His faithfulness continues through the generations. We know His love endures forever. So take time. Take time tomorrow. Be intentional to turn your heart to heaven. Worship the Lord with gladness. And acknowledge in your own life, you know the Lord is God. Amen. And amen.